Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. On this broadcast, we want to hear from you. If it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and this is your opportunity to call and speak directly with us inside the studio at Basic Gospel. The call-in number, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Christmas is fast approaching, December 25th. Now, you're not going to find that date in the Bible. Nowhere does the Bible say Jesus was born on December 25th. It doesn't say anywhere that he was born on any specific day. Yeah. We just kind of know a general time frame as to when Jesus came into this world. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we see surrounding the Christmas story is a lot of fear nots, a lot of do not be afraid. Yeah. So angels appeared to Joseph, appeared to Mary, appeared to the shepherds. And every time they did, they started the conversation with a phrase similar to this, do not be afraid or fear not. And we're fearful people. I mean, we're frightened. We're scared to death of God. That's how we are as lost people. That's how we are in our natural state before really coming to understand the grace and truth of Jesus Christ, the grace and truth that God has poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. So we're afraid. We're scared to death. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God told them not to do so. He told them that the day you do, you're going to die. Now, they didn't die physically that day, but they died spiritually. Yes. They got disconnected from the life of God. And once that happened, fear entered into their souls. Mm-hmm. And we see that in Adam and Eve's first response toward God after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. They hid from God. Why? Because they were afraid and they were ashamed because of their nakedness. Now, that fear has been passed on to every single human being since Adam and Eve. We come into this world naturally afraid of God. Now, John tells us why in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm just going to read several passages out of this particular chapter, starting in verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus Christ propitiated God on behalf of our sins. Yeah. He took upon himself every single one of our sins. He offered his blood as the sacrifice for those sins, and God was satisfied. God was propitiated. Now, why is that important? Because we're scared to death of God because of our sins. That's what puts the fear inside of us. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They were afraid of God. That was the consequence. That was the natural consequence of their sin. The same is true for you and me. We're sinners by nature. Because we're sinners by nature, that's what we were before we came to know Jesus, we sinned. And because we sinned, we had fear toward God. We even looked at him as an enemy. That's how we perceive God, because of our sin. But God sent Jesus into this world as a demonstration of his love for us to take care of the sin issue. So he's the propitiation for our sins. Now in verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So when we recognize that God sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, we recognize that he becomes our Savior. And that's what alleviates the fear inside of us. That's what turns our fear into faith. That's what turns our restlessness and our always thinking we're walking on eggshells when it comes to God into confidence and assurance. And so whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Now, that's what a believer comes to recognize, the love that God has for him. And that's good news.
Yes, indeed.
That is a powerful, powerful place to be, to know and to believe the love that God has for us. Okay? Now, there are many believers walking around unsure of the love that God has for them. Now, what's the solution? Is to get to that point that you recognize that nothing can separate you from the love of God. To recognize that in God's love, he sent Jesus to be the propitiation for their sins. Mm-hmm. That's going to give them the confidence that they need. And that truth about the love of God is going to punch that fear right in the face, kick it in the gut, send it to the curb. That's what the love of God does as far as our fear is concerned. So by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, if we don't know the love of God, the day of judgment is a scary prospect.
Absolutely.
We're so afraid of what's going to happen, what that judgment of God is going to be toward us, and we know it's going to be against us if we're not sure of the love of God. So he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Why are we afraid? What are we afraid of? We're afraid of punishment. You know, one of the major symptoms of anxiety and depression is guilt. And you know what that guilt stems from? A fear that God's justice, that God's punishment is going to be meted out against us at any given moment.
Yeah.
That's why we judge all of the negative circumstances in our life as a punishment from God for something that we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
People will think, hey, I've lost my job. What did I do in the past that God is punishing me for today? And so we live with that fear that something's about to happen. Something bad is about to happen. Why? Because we're afraid of punishment. But what does the love of God do? The love of God casts aside that fear. It pushes it to the curb so that we can have confidence and assurance in our relationship with Christ Jesus, knowing that he was the propitiation for our sins, that he took away our sins once and for all, freeing us to enjoy the love of God.
And that is a good message. Thank you, Bob, for sharing that. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're here. We have an open line for you right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. You know, Bob mentioned it yesterday. What's required to bring this program to you each day? Well, over the years, we've heard some make the assertion that the gospel is free for all. Why do we have to donate to hear it? Well, the truth is, you don't. And there are many people that listen to this program every day that never give a dollar. But to the point about the gospel being free, that's absolutely true. The gospel is free, but bringing it to you on the airwaves is not free. As Bob outlined yesterday, there are many expenses beyond our control that must be met in order to keep this program on the air, and of course that includes airtime for our stations. But we believe that the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ is worth the effort, and our hope is to get this message out to as many people as possible by every means available, and it is a costly endeavor, however. That's why we ask you, our listeners, to support Basic Gospel, and some of you do. And for you, we're grateful for your partnership. Thank you for that. We hope to see many new supporters come alongside of us to help get the message out and keep it going. We hope you'll make your gift today, and you can do that right now at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's BasicGospel.net. Come on, friends, partner with us.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start in Mesquite, Texas, with Rod listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how y'all doing today? Your ministry is such a blessing to all of us out here.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. That's a boost of encouragement and a ministry back to us. So thank you, Rod.
Yes. I was wondering, like, God knows everything, and he has all knowledge, the beginning, the end from the beginning. And so I don't understand why he knew Satan was going to cause a rebellion, and he knew that 1/3 of the angels would fall. Why did God not make a way for the angels that fell to repent and to stay in heaven? Because I understand Satan and the 1/3 of the angels that fell, their anger and rage, because there was no way of redemption for them. Once they rebelled against God, they were cast out. But why did he not make, he knew it was going to happen, so why did he not make a way of redemption for the angels like he did for mankind?
Well, Rod, I think it goes back to the creation story. When you read through, you know, the 6 days of creation, we're the final piece of that creation story, and we are the only part of that creation story that was created in the image of God. We're the image bearers. And we were given the very life of God and this opportunity to know God in a personal and intimate way. And that wasn't granted to any other part of creation. So what does that tell us? That every other aspect of creation was there to basically serve us. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 2, for example, when the writer of Hebrews describes the role that angels have. And these angels are ministering servants there to minister to those that would inherit salvation. So that was why God created them. That was their task. And if they were going to rebel against that, there was no way to that he provided to bring them back. Why? Because salvation is for you and for me. And so God sent Jesus for us. God sent Jesus so that we could taste the grace of God and experience new life in him. And why did he do that? To restore us back to those image bearers that we were created to be, so that we could reflect the very glory of God out there in the world. So that's how God set it up, and we're the only ones that get to taste the grace of God when we are revealed with Jesus, when he comes back. We're going to be permanent trophies of that grace, and all the whole created order will look on at us and say, wow, those are the ones, those are the children of God that know the very essence and character of God in a personal and intimate way. And they'll rejoice over that because they were a part of God's plan to serve us to be able to experience that.
And so that's why Satan hates mankind so much, is because we're a constant reminder of God's grace and redemption for us, where he and the 1/3 of the angels will never have that. They'll have the lake of fire and burn and be tortured for all eternity. So no wonder he hates mankind so much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well said, Rod. Very well said. And that's why he's constantly trying to move us away from what we can experience in Christ.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome, Rod. Thanks for your call. Great question, my friend.
Yes, indeed. 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742. And, of course, Bob, we're in December, the month for Christmas, and it's always the thing that we give gifts among each other. And, you know, the greatest gift that was ever given was our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was the ultimate gift to mankind. And I think we can do no less than say thank you by sharing that gift. And I think a very good way to do that is with your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, as a Christmas gift.
Well, I hope a lot of people will consider that as a gift to give to those that they love. I know books are one of the best ways to spread the message, to share the good news with others. In Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, I tell a little bit of my story. I tell a lot of other stories and give some illustrations. And it's very easy to read.
Yes.
And it will point you to the grace of God. It will point you to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it will give you a way to live the Christian life, which is victorious, which is easy, which is simple, which gives you the benefits of enjoying the life of Christ to the full, just as Jesus promised.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great, great gift to give. It has touched people's lives all around the world. It's in English. It's in Spanish as well. If you have Spanish friends that would like to read this, it's a great book. And all the details on how to order are on our website at basicgospel.net. We have a big icon right at the top right-hand corner of
the
page.
Looking right at it.
So you can just click on that book cover. And it will take you to the ordering page, and you can buy one, you can buy quantities, and the more you buy, the bigger discount you will get. So consider giving Simple Gospel, Simply Grace this Christmas as a gift to your friends and family.
Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net right there on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours.
Yes, sir. My name's Pat, but I was wondering about in Revelation when they're talking to the church of Sardis, and they're saying that everyone who conquers will be clothed in white, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that he is mine. Well, that sounds like that. Well, I've heard once saved, always saved, but looks like that Christ can erase our name from the book of life. Would you please answer that question for me? Thank you.
Well, Pat, I sure will, and I think I'm just going to read the verse. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. That's just a statement of assurance. That's just God saying to every person that comes to Christ by faith, they're going to be clothed in white garments. That's a reference to the righteousness of Christ, that we're going to be given the very righteousness of Christ. And because we've been given the righteousness of Christ, our place in the book of life is guaranteed eternally. So he's simply saying, I will never blot you out. This isn't presenting a hypothetical that he could blot you out. He is making the promise that he will never blot us out of the book of life. And we should take it for face value. We should take it for what it says. It says, I'll never blot you out. So we need to rejoice in that.
Yes.
Why? Because God has clothed us in the very righteousness of Christ. So this is good news. So once Christ has saved you, he has saved you forever. He has saved you completely. And the only way that you could lose your life is if Jesus Christ lost his. Why? Because his life has now become your life. His life is an indestructible life. Therefore, your life is indestructible as well. And one day, when you get a new resurrection body, you're going to put on the imperishable and immortal, and you're going to be with him forever. So don't look at this and say, oh, maybe God will blot me out. No, he says very clearly he will never blot us out of the book of life.
Emphasis on never.
That's right.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's basic gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for being with us. You know, we're well into December now, the home stretch for reaching our financial need of something around $250,000 by the end of the month. Now, that sounds like a hefty sum, but if we all pull together, it will happen. We've seen it before, and we know that God will again work through you, his people, to support his message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus. We hope you'll be among those who join us today with a December gift, and you could donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, another call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, I had a question. My son has a baby that was born very, very premature. She just reached her year birthday. She's had 6 brain surgeries. That little baby is the sweetest little thing, and she just keeps coming along. But she looks like she's definitely going to have some issues. How do I convince my son to get back into religion again? I understand he is just so mad at God right now that this baby hasn't been healed through prayer and that she's facing a real hardship in her life if she keeps living. I'm not really sure how to help him. Thank you so much. And I love listening to your program. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we're glad you enjoy listening to the program, and boy, what a circumstance. And my heart certainly goes out to you, goes out to your son, and goes out to that precious little girl who's suffered so much in just a few months and years that she's lived. But here's what I've discovered with parents who have kids that are going through some type of trauma like this, kids with cancer, some form of pediatric cancer. How do their parents respond? And most of them go through a period of anger, of intense anger toward God. And when you try to get underneath that anger, what you see is a fear. And a lot of times that fear has to do with exactly what we talked about at the opening of the broadcast, that fear has to do with punishment. And so a lot of times folks are saying, what did I do in my past that brought about such a horrible outcome for my daughter or for my son? And they get angry thinking, why are you punishing my kid? Why are you punishing this precious little person and not me? And that's just not fair. That's not right. So a lot of times that anger, that intense anger that is directed toward God, really is that natural fear that we all have that we're going to be punished for our sins. And we're looking at this horrible circumstance as God's punishment for something that we've done in the past. And so what I would encourage you to do is to see if you can have a conversation with him where you can just kind of delve and say, what's really going on the inside? What are you really thinking? Do you think, and maybe you can ask him just straight out, do you think that what your daughter is going through right now, what my grandchild is going through right now, is a punishment that God is bringing in your life because of something that you've done in the past? And if that's the case, then the gospel answers that. If that's the case, then the cross is God's answer to say, no, this isn't a punishment. This is just one of those unfortunate happenings in life. And so he's got a plan, and we can trust him in the midst of it. A number of years ago, I was at an event, a retreat, a beach retreat for a week, and it was for families that were suffering through pediatric cancer. Mm-hmm. They had one or two kids within their family that had been diagnosed with cancer. And so this ministry invites them to a week long retreat where they can get refreshed, where they can get reconnected as a family, where the siblings can enjoy and not just have everything centered around cancer and hospitals and treatments. Yeah. And husbands and wives can get reconnected. And I sat there with the parents, and that's what I asked. I said, have any of you thought that this was a punishment for some sin that you've done in the past? And every single one of them, without exception, raised their hand and said, yes, that's what we think. Yeah. And that's why we're mad at God. Hmm. So I would just encourage you to have a conversation with your son in regards to that. Do you feel like this is a punishment from God? If so, let's take a fresh look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see exactly what Christ did with all of our sins. And I think we'll have some answers there.
Man, I'm glad that you reached out to us and hope that that's a help to you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to call 844-322-2742. And thanks, everyone, for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We're glad, as always, that you were with us. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, of course, leave us a voicemail, as I said, at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow, same time, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.